Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. It's Maria Boynton. My guest is Dr. Ricky Jones, chair of the Pan-African Studies Department at the University of Louisville. And one thing about him that I feel that we should get out here in the open, he grew up right here in Southwest Atlanta in old Carver Homes. I heard that about you, right?
Yeah. I'm a Grady baby. Grew up in the old housing projects before they tore them down. So, you know, I'm an Atlanta kid, miss it every day.
Tell us about Louisville, you know, and Atlanta. How do the two compare in your opinion?
Well, here's where they're alike. Louisville is to Kentucky as Atlanta is to Georgia. Louisville's the largest metropolitan area in the state. The most progressive area in the state, the most liberal area in the state, relatively speaking, but you're comparing it to the rest of the state of Kentucky. Just like Atlanta is the most populated, most liberal, you know, relatively progressive place in the state of Georgia. But the gap is much more pronounced, I think, in Georgia than in Kentucky. That's where the comparisons end, though. While Louisville has the most African Americans in the city in the state, it's nothing like Atlanta. They developed in different ways. Unlike Atlanta, Louisville about 20 years ago merged the city and county, and that was done largely to suppress the black voting strength in this city. Before the merger, blacks were about a third of the city. That dropped their strength once it merged down to about 18-19%. They worked their way back up to about 22-23%. Now, me being born in Atlanta, I have no memory of Atlanta not having a black mayor. I mean, so I was alive when Maynard Jackson was elected in 73, but I was 6 years old. So, you know, I don't have great memories of that. I do not remember the mayor before him. Louisville has never had a black mayor, where Atlanta has a pretty strong black base of power and political and social influence. Louisville does not. So a lot of things happen in Louisville that probably wouldn't happen in the same way in Atlanta. So I would say to my homeboys and homegirls in Atlanta, sometimes you don't know how good you got it along lines of race.
Everyone, he is Ricky Jones, chair of the Pan-African Studies Department at the University of Louisville, grew up right here in Atlanta. So when we talk about the situation that's going on in Louisville, earlier today, we received word from the Attorney General that a former Louisville police officer has been indicted by a grand jury on first-degree wanton endangerment charges for his actions on the night that Breonna Taylor was killed by police, but not for her death. First and foremost, what are we to take from that decision?
Here's the first thing that people have to take from it, Maria, and they have to understand this because this is already being misreported. One, the only person who's been indicted, who's been charged with anything, that's wanton endangerment, is Officer Brett Hankson, who had a rather sketchy history even before the Breonna Taylor incident. And then he's the person who shot into the apartment, and he's already been fired from the Louisville Metro Police Department. So he's serving as the fall guy. But remember this, and this, I cannot overemphasize this point. He is not charged with wantonly endangering Breonna Taylor's life or her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker. He is charged with wantonly endangering the lives of people in an adjoining apartment. He shot bullets into their apartment. Okay, so the other two officers were charged with nothing at all. So in effect, we come out of this with Breonna Taylor dead, and no officer is charged with anything that had to do with her death. So people need to be clear. He is not charged with anything that has to do with the death of Breonna Taylor. He's charged with wanton endangerment of the people in the apartment next door. So they're saying they did nothing wrong in the killing of her.
So for African Americans, I mean, when we look at this case, when you look at Ahmaud Arbery, when you look at so many cases from years past to present, what does this say to African Americans? And we're talking to Ricky Jones, everyone, chair of the Pan-African Studies Department at the University of Louisville. What does this say, in your opinion, to African Americans when it comes to seeking and having justice in this country, having sanctuary in this country? What does it say?
If you are a black person who has any sense of history, or a person who is an ally of black people and you have any sense of history, you understand that this is par for the course. While the decision made today was reprehensible, it is not surprising. You can work up from the New York insurrection to the Gold Coast massacre to Denmark Vesey to Gabriel Prosser to Nat Turner on up through history, you know, to George Boxley, on all the way up to Tamir Rice being killed in Cleveland. We are seeing time and time again that the law does not apply to black people in the same way it applies to white people. The goalposts will be moved. People will change the rules as they go along, and they will consistently justify black people being killed by agents of the state. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing it again and again and again. And when I say agents of the state, I'm talking about police officers. And so what we're seeing also is a mentality, a culture in police departments all over the country, not just in Louisville, Kentucky, where I think they have a group narcissistic personality disorder. They basically don't feel that they can do anything wrong. And if they do anything wrong, then nothing is going to happen to them. Unfortunately, we're seeing the criminal justice system consistently reaffirm that belief in them. So if they don't think they've done anything wrong, they'll keep doing it, right? And if the system doesn't punish them when they take people's lives, they'll keep taking them. So that's what black people are faced with. We're faced with our women, our men, our children, our babies consistently being in danger all over this country, and we have very little power or influence to do anything about it, and the system knows it.
He's Dr. Ricky Jones, everybody, chair of the Pan-African Studies Department at the University of Louisville. You're there. You're at ground zero. What are you seeing? What are you hearing right now? I mean, we just are only, just an hour or so since the announcement was made. What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
You know, Maria, here's the thing. Louisville is in a state of emergency right now, has been all week. You know, I've seen Homeland Security cars around here. I've seen military Humvees. So they say the National Guard hasn't been called in, but I'm seeing military Humvees in the city. So that tells me that there's something else is going on.
Well, you may have those military style weapons in the police department, too.
Oh, yeah. You have all of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what it says to me is this. One, there is this continuous narrative that black people are naturally violent, that we are to be feared and we have to be controlled. So therefore, things have to be put in place to control us. But the reality is, black people aren't as violent as folk in this country wants to say. That's a lie. We are the people who are subjected to insane levels of violence by the state. And we're incredibly patient and peaceful usually. So right now, I think people are hurting. You know, they're hurting and they're flailing, but they don't know exactly what to do because there is nothing that they can do to really impact what's going on right now. But I think this is an unsustainable system. So people are just, they're flailing right now, but we're under a curfew. People have to be off the streets by 9 o'clock tonight. So it is an interesting place to be. I'm very, very tempted to get in my car right now, hit 75 South and come home.
Mm. And we would welcome you back, sir, because we understand the situation as it is there. We saw the buildup. We saw the settlement for $12 million. Then we started getting the reports that an announcement was going to be made. I mean, what was the sentiment there when you saw the settlement? Then you saw them boarding up the windows and everything and the city being placed on lockdown and state of emergency being instituted. What was the feeling then?
This, you know, the settlement was weird, right? Because usually in these types of situations, civil cases are not decided until after criminal cases are decided. This one got inverted, right? So the settlement was weird. That was unanticipated. I didn't expect that to come. But I will say this very quickly for people, because you get a lot of people, especially outside of our race, who say, well, you know, $12 million has been paid off. That's the largest individual civil settlement in the history of the city of Louisville. So you Negroes ought to be satisfied, in effect. You know, that's the sentiment coming from there. You know, I have a 12-year-old daughter. I don't know if you have kids, Maria, but I would imagine every black parent out here who has a child, a son or a daughter, would keep their son or daughter close to them that they can love on them rather than take $12 million, right? That's the first thing. Two, there's some interesting characters at play here, too. People outside will see the attorney general, right, Daniel Cameron, and they'll say, oh, there's a black attorney general, so there's got to be something legit about this. Don't get fooled by that. Daniel Cameron is a black man who has abandoned black sensibilities. He says that Mitch McConnell, yes, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, is like a father to him. He's a Mitch McConnell protege. So this is a Clarence Thomas, Condoleezza Rice, Ward Connolly type of individual who's making these decisions and approaching the black community and then has the nerve to stand up during this press conference and say, I'm a black man. You know, that's kind of scary and offensive. So this, I hate to say this, I taught that guy a class when he was an undergraduate at the University of Louisville, and clearly he didn't listen.
All righty. Wow. Dr. Ricky Jones, chair of the Pan-African Studies Department, University of Louisville. You're from here, grew up right here in Southwest Atlanta in the old Carver Homes housing project. You're now a professor at the University of Louisville. What do you think about your home city? Protesting in the streets, calling for justice, social justice, racial justice, all of that. What have you been, when you see your city up in arms about what's been going on in this country, your feelings?
You talk about my city, Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think if you again, understand history and the history of black struggle, Atlanta has always sat at the epicenter of black struggle. And people should know, you know, a very good friend of mine, a friend of yours too, Maria, our brother Mowley Davis, who was an attorney down there. We've been friends since we were 18 years old. Came into manhood together at the U.S. Naval Academy. I spent my first 2 years there. I spent my last 2 years back home at Morehouse College. So, you know, Atlanta's been home to this type of struggle, so it does not surprise me to see people in Atlanta, even when folks are mistreated outside of Atlanta, still stand up and say, hey, follow us. I think Atlanta really, for our people, is the last refuge in America right now. It ain't D.C. no more. It used to be. But it's Atlanta right now. That's why, you know, every black person in the country that you talk to, if you talk to them about having their druthers, if they got some consciousness about them, they're going to try to get to Atlanta. So I'm not surprised by folks in Atlanta standing up like that. I'm proud of folks in Atlanta who stand up like that, and I'm proud to be from Atlanta, all except, you know, being a Falcons fan because they try to kill me every Sunday.
Oh, yeah. This past Sunday, they really gave us all a big heart attack, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been going through it since I was 6 years old, so I'm used to it.
All righty, everybody. Ricky Jones is chair of the Pan-African Studies Department at the University of Louisville. We hope that you stay safe. I know things are starting to happen there now. Folks are taking to the streets. They're reacting, everyone, to the announcement today that a former Louisville police officer was indicted on first-degree wanton endangerment charges for his actions on the night that Breonna Taylor was killed by police, but not for her death. Two other officers at the shooting were not indicted, so no one is being held accountable for the death of Breonna Taylor, who was at home. She was in her own home when she was shot and killed by police. So, what are we to take away again from all of this, Dr. Ricky Jones? Final comments here. What advice do you have for us as a people?
The very simple thing, I think, and, you know, the Black Lives Matter, that was a movement before it was a hashtag. You know, you run back to Ida B. Wells Barnett, to Frederick Douglass, to Harriet Tubman, to Du Bois, William Monroe Trotter, you know, John Hope down in Morehouse, all the way through. There's always been a Black Lives Matter movement among black people before the hashtag. But what this tells us is that we still are living in an America where black lives at worst don't matter at all, and at best are still devalued. So we have to stay vigilant about trying to build a new world where we leverage things as best as we can to force this country to respect us as human beings, because we still haven't gotten there yet. So we ain't got time to play. You know, we got to be about our business.
Dr. Ricky Jones, thank you so much for your time and for your insight, sir.
You're very welcome, sister. So good to talk to you.
And if you decide to get on 75 and come on back home, we're here for you. Look us up.
I'm sure you'll have somewhere where I can lay my head.
We definitely will. Everyone, right. Thank you for listening. I'm Maria Boynton.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.